I don't know about you, but every once in a while I get frustrated. And I was sitting this week thinking about the things that frustrate me. And I made a list. Fortunately, the list was not very long. But I want to share a couple of things that frustrate me that maybe frustrate you also. Number one on my list is when a song is roaming around in my head and keeps going on and on and on and I can't get rid of it. You ever been there? And it's usually a song that you don't like. And it just keeps going on and on and on and on. And I say to myself, the only way to get rid of a song like that is to replace it with another song. So I start thinking in my mind of what the lyrics or the tunes of this other song is, and about two bars into the song, it reverts back to the old one. Just, oh, it drives me crazy. Second thing frustrates me is when I'm looking forward to watching a program on TV in the evening. I'm waiting all day for that program to come on, and I'm sitting in my recliner, and 5 minutes before the program comes on, I fall asleep. And wake up with 1 minute to go before it concludes. It drives me crazy. Third thing, when I'm out on the highway and I'm approaching a line of cars that are going less than the speed limit, and I come up behind them and I pull out into the passing lane to pass these cars, and the car in front of me at the back of this line of cars decides it's going to pass also, which is not a problem except if he's cutting me off. But they pull into the passing lane, and then they decide, you know what, I'm not going to pass after all. And yeah, you have two cars that are going slower than what I would prefer to travel at, within the speed limit. And you're stuck there. Or you begin to pass these cars, and then the first car that's in this line decides, hey, you know what? I haven't been going to speed limit. Now I'm going to speed up to the speed limit, and you can't get back into the right lane. Meanwhile, there's cars coming up behind you that want you to pass, and you're stuck there. That just frustrates me. But then there's one that has real significance. It's when God impresses upon me that He wants to do something in my life or through my life. And there are few, if any, that have the same impression. I know with a certainty that God has burdened me for some area of ministry, but for some reason, there are only a handful of people, or maybe not even a handful, that have that same burden. And that can be really frustrating. I hope that frustrates you too. Because if it doesn't, something is wrong. This morning, in our study, we're going to depart from the Gospel of Matthew for 1 week and head on over to the Gospel of Luke. Because that was the situation that Mary found herself in. God wanting to do something in her and through her, and few that were going along with the program. I want you to see how she handled these things, and let it be a lesson that when you find yourself, and hopefully you will find yourself in a situation where God is wanting to do something in you or through you, and you will find opposition to those things. How did she handle it? Luke chapter 1. And I want to begin reading verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now this morning, as we're looking at the story here, the Christmas story in Luke's gospel, I'm going to look at how she handled this in relationship to four different people. And the first thing that I want us to look at is how she handled it in relationship to herself. Here comes this angel by the name of Gabriel, and with a very unusual greeting. "Hail, thou art highly favored." The word favored there is the Greek word charis, which is normally translated grace. "Thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And that caught her by surprise. She wasn't expecting anything. And here comes this angel out of the blue. And it says here, verse 29, "And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying." May I say to you, the very first thing that we should do when God is communicating to us and seeking to work his will in us and through us is that we too should be troubled. The word troubled there is the Greek word diatarasso. Dia is a preposition meaning through, and tarasso is a verb to agitate. The idea is she was going back and forth. What in the world can this... Well, this must be something bad. No, this might be something good. No, this got to be something bad. Going back and forth, she was troubled at the saying. Here is an angel appearing out of the blue. And it was common thought in those days when an angel appeared to you, you were going to die. The angel was coming to take you home. And yet this angel comes and has a message that's good. Well, this has got to be good. No, this is bad. This is good. She's going back and forth. May I say to you that when you are reading Scripture or a thought crosses your mind concerning the will of God for your life, you too should be troubled. Because not everything that seems to be spiritual is necessarily of God. Now, we have the advantage here of reading in verse 26 that this angel Gabriel was sent from God. We know that to be true. Mary didn't have that luxury. All of a sudden, she sees an angel. Well, angels are good, aren't they? Not necessarily. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul is talking about false apostles. And he says there, concerning them, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." As I was thinking about that this week, I hearkened back to Genesis chapter 3, and where Adam and Eve are in the garden, and Satan appears to them through the serpent. And that serpent begins talking to Eve. Now, I don't know. That would kind of alert me to something being amiss. Wouldn't that bother you? At least it should. Some people feel that before the curse entered into the world, before Adam and Eve sinned, that there is a possibility that man was able to communicate with animals, and animals were able to communicate with man. After all, those of you who have pets, sit, heel, do this, sit up, that kind of, you talk to them and they understand. If you have a horse, you give verbal commands, they figure out what's going on. And someone has said, well, maybe before the curse, man was capable of talking and conversing with animals. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. But nonetheless, here comes this serpent. And may I paraphrase the Genesis 3 story and say, "Hey, Eve, what's for supper?" Well, we're going to have a little of the fruit of that tree and a little of the fruit of that tree. And Satan comes along and says, well, have you considered this fruit? And to make a long story short or a short story long, she says, no, well, you know what? That thing is able to make one wise. And it was. looks pretty good, and it was. Sounds tasty, and it was. And therefore it must be good. No, it wasn't. Satan will use good things to lead you out of the will of God. Be troubled when some new thought comes along that you've never thought of before. Check it out. Well, that's what Mary was doing. She was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind. Well, the angel apparently was able to sense this. Verse 30, and the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Second thing, be certain. Not only should you be troubled, but you should be certain. Her concern about what was going on, whether this was from God, apparently was eased by this angel sharing with her biblical prophecy. The essence of it is that he goes back to 2 Samuel chapter 17 of the Davidic covenant and saying that there would be one of the line of David who would constantly sit on the throne of his father, and Jesus was going to be the one who would do that, and he shall reign forever. So all these biblical prophecies are coming to a conclusion with this incarnation, and that eased her mind about 95%. But may I say to you, if you're 5% uncertain what the will of God is, you better not proceed with it. When you're proceeding with the will of God, you better be 100% sure. You see, there was one thing. It talks about what's going to happen here in this commentary from Gabriel, but he doesn't say how it's going to happen. The will of God is always accomplished in the ways of God. God never accomplishes his will in ways that are foreign to his character. God is a holy God. God is a righteous God. God always uses righteous means to accomplish his will. Now, men may do unrighteously, and God can turn that around for good in the end. But when God says to one of his children, this is how I want you to accomplish my will, he expects that child to use ways that are consistent with his character. And Mary was not going to go outside the will of God in accomplishing the will of God. She was not going to use methods that were inconsistent with his nature. And she says here in verse 34, Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I am not going to compromise my integrity, my purity, my virginity in accomplishing this thing. This is fantastic that you have chosen me for this responsibility, but the will of God cannot be accomplished in any other way than the methodology of God. And I am not going to become pregnant by means that would violate God's will in marriage. Verse 35, And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing. Don't you like that word in there? Not that human thing, although Jesus was perfectly human, but that holy thing. For you see, if Mary had violated the how of God's will, the conception of Christ would have not been a holy thing. It would have been a sinful thing. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. He now quotes Isaiah chapter 7 and said, this is how God is going to accomplish His purposes in you. No, He will not violate the purity of your being. She was troubled. She was certain. Then she needed to be agreeable. Verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be chosen by God to do anything. And may I say to you, God doesn't choose people just for ministerial positions. God chooses each and every one of us for His service in various ways. And may I say to you also, consider it a privilege to be a servant of the Most High God. Slavery, servanthood, is not considered in this world to be any type of wonderful thing, but it is a wonderful thing to be a servant of the Most High God. There's no greater service on earth. And Mary is saying, look, okay, this is according to God's purposes to accomplish what He wants to in time. I can be a blessing to the world around me, and it won't violate how God wants to do things. My integrity, my purity will be remained. Go for it! You see, it's wonderful to be chosen, but it's even better to enact it. There's no glory in doing nothing. And Mary said, I'm agreeable to that. Go for it. Now, at this point, the angel leaves. And at some point, the Holy Spirit accomplishes His purposes in Mary's life. She becomes pregnant with the Lord Jesus Christ. The chronology of events is not stated in Scripture. At least the exact order of things. At some point, she goes to Joseph and tells Joseph what has happened. At some point, as we'll read here in just a second, she goes off to see Elizabeth. Which came first? Well, Scripture doesn't tell us. But I will. I will conjecture. I will postulate. I will take a guess at it. My thought is that she probably went to Joseph first. After all, she is engaged, if you will. She is espoused to him. He's going to be involved in this plan immediately, so I think it was probably necessary for her to go to him first. And then she probably went off to see Elizabeth. Well, why did she go off to see Elizabeth? Well, when she went to Joseph, Joseph didn't believe her. Which brings me to the second person that we need to respond to. Those who are fellow laborers. She goes off to see Elizabeth. Verse 39, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. She wanted to find somebody that would encourage her in what God was going to do. Do you realize we all need that encouragement? I forewarned my Sunday school class. My warning is, forewarning is coming to pass right now. You may take about 2 minutes off. The rest of you who were not in my Sunday school class need to stay awake. I told my Sunday school class that a lion or a group of a pride of lions never attacks a herd. What they do is they try to single one of the animals of a herd out and get it by itself. When a Christian is disjoint from the herd, the Christian is in grave peril. Mary was out there all by herself. She needed the encouragement of others. And may I say to you, when we put aside the coming together of Christians for the purposes of worship or whatever it may be, of the fellowship opportunities that we have, and say, oh, that's not important today. I've got something more important to do. You're putting yourself in a place of extreme peril. She needed that encouragement, and I take it Elizabeth needed that encouragement. Can you imagine what Elizabeth was going through? Now, here's a woman who's up there in years. Don't know exactly how old she was, but she was up there because the scripture tells us that she was past childbearing years. She's got a husband who was a godly man, but he goes into the temple to do his service for the Lord, and he comes out unable to speak. That has to be frustrating. Not only that, she now becomes pregnant, which was going to bring joy to her. But I am coming to understand, as you get past those childbearing years, you are also getting past those ability to care for child years. And I would imagine that her being with child was a physically tedious thing. I would imagine that as she was going through, and now in her sixth month of her pregnancy, she's the novelty of this thing is wearing off, and the difficulty of this thing is beginning to become great. She needed someone to encourage her. And along comes Mary. And she greets her. Verse 41, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, who cares? Nope. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them from that fear him from generation to generation. He hath shown strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her for about 3 months and returned to her own house. I think during that 3 months, they just encouraged one another. But there was also something else going on in that time. Good old Joseph was pondering what he needed to do. Now, Joseph was a person who obviously loved Mary. They were espoused to each other, which in the Jewish culture could only be broken by a legal divorcement. Joseph was told, or Scripture tells us that Joseph was a just, a righteous man. We've seen from Mary's testimony that she was too. But yet when Mary apparently told Joseph of what God was doing, Joseph just couldn't buy it. And there are godly people that won't recognize, at least immediately, what God is wanting to do in you or through you in ministry to the world. What do you do then? You be patient. You just wait. The issue is this. Joseph was necessary to the fulfillment of God's purposes. when you know that there is somebody that is necessary to the fulfillment of God's purposes and they're not on board with it, understand that God is on board with it and God is working. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to be looking at the testimony of Joseph. So I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time there this morning. But the scripture says that while Joseph thought on these things, fortunately, being a godly man, he was given to thinking through those things. He began by thinking incorrectly. But God has a way of working his plan out. I don't know what changed his mind in the course of things, but all of a sudden, you get an angel coming on the scene, and the angel corrects Joseph's theology. He basically says to him, "Hey, remember that Isaiah prophecy? Oh, yeah, I never thought of that one." And then all is well from there. Be patient. Be troubled. Be certain. Be agreeable. Be encouraging and be encouraged. Be patient. Who's the fourth one? Well, you've got people that will never buy into the program. Unbelievers. And there were plenty of them in Jesus' day. Remember over in John chapter 8 when Jesus was having a confrontation with the Pharisees as to who he was and who his father was? They said to him, "We be not born of fornication," which implies that Jesus was. Well, if that implies that Jesus was born of fornication, it means that they never accepted the testimony of Mary that the Holy Spirit had come upon her and she was a virgin when she conceived. Never bought that. And as I was thinking about that, I said to myself, wait a minute. These people, these Pharisees, these religious people, I'll bet you they knew Joseph and Mary quite well. We read in the early days of the Lord Jesus in his childhood years that it was his custom with his parents to go up into the temple to fulfill the requirements of the Lord in worship. And you remember when he was about 12 years old, he got separated from his parents, that story there. That was their tradition. I would take it that during both Joseph and Mary's younger days, that was their tradition. I'll bet you they grew up in the, if you will, the church. And these Pharisees probably knew them and say, "Hey, look, these are faithful people." And now all of a sudden, one of them comes and says, "Well, the Lord's doing something fantastic through me." You've got to be kidding. They didn't buy it. And now Jesus is over 30 years old, so they've heard this story for over 30 years, and they still haven't bought it. Not only didn't they buy it, they were wanting to discredit it. John chapter 9, remember the story of the boy who was born blind and Jesus gave sight to him and they brought him before the Pharisees. And it says in there, "Give God the praise. We know this man," meaning Jesus, "is a sinner." And I would suspect that during those 30 years, at various points, these Pharisees came up to Mary and said to her, "Look, tell it like it is. We don't believe your story. We're the ones in the know here. Tell us the truth. Give God the praise. Tell us that isn't the case that you had immoral relationships, and that's where this fella came from." Well, I would imagine the first time that happened, Mary said, "Uh-uh." And the second time that would come to pass, Mary would say, "Uh-uh." And the third time that would happen, Mary would say, "Well, no." And the fourth time and the fifth time, and each time there would be a temptation for her to say, "You know what? What difference does it make? I'm just going to get these guys off my back and admit to that. She never did. Be troubled. Be certain. Be agreeable. Be encouraging. Be persevering. Can you imagine how your Bibles would read if Mary somewhere along the line said, "You know what? What happened to me, what I have said, it really wasn't the truth." Our Gospels wouldn't be Gospels at all. When God is wanting to do something, there will be those who will stand against it. Don't give in. Persevere. God will accomplish His purposes despite them. But He will never accomplish His purposes through you if you don't hang in there. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, "Be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain." Oh, you'll get frustrated. Guaranteed. But nothing can frustrate the will of God. Let's pray. Father, encourage us with the testimony of Mary today, that the things that you are wanting to do in us and through us can be accomplished, even if it takes a miracle. Lord, may we be troubled enough to make sure that we know what your will is. May we be careful enough to accomplish your will in the way that you would have it be accomplished. But may we also be agreeable, that when we understand it with certainty, that we give ourselves fully to it, not half-heartedly. Lord, and may we be encouraging to others who are within the program that need our encouragement. May we be in fellowship with them that they might encourage us. May we be patient with those who lag behind, knowing that you will, in good time, work your work in their lives. And may we persevere through and past those who will stand against us, because they're standing against you. Accomplish these things for the glory of God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.